Song in Bikini Bottom, Electric Zoo.
Hey, that's pretty catchy.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta, the best radio station in all of Bikini Bottom. Don't touch that dial, keep it locked.
I love this young people's music.
Hi, I'm Emily Phelps. My pronouns are she, her, and I run our Gender and Sexuality Resource Center here on campus. SUNY Oneonta wants everyone to feel comfortable on campus. Because of this, we want students to be aware of our policies surrounding inclusive restroom use. It's New York State law and campus policy that any individual can use whichever restroom they feel the most comfortable in. In addition to this, we also have gender-neutral, single-stall, walkable restrooms located in every building. For a map of where these restrooms are located, please see the Transgender Resource Guide on the SUNY Oneonta website. As always, feel free to reach out to the GSRC.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Wednesday, February 11th at 3 p.m., head over to the Butternut Valley Room for art and advocacy poster making. On Thursday, February 12th at 5:30 p.m., join Adios for their Corazones y Colores San Valentin themed event in Fitzell, Room 303. On Friday, February 13th, starting at 10 a.m., join WONY for our World Radio Day tabling happening in the Hunt Union Lobby. Also on Friday, join Milne Library for their For the Love of Books event from 2 to 4 p.m. in Milne 102A. In Dewar Arena, watch women's basketball as they take on New Paltz happening at 5:30 p.m. And stay after to watch men's basketball as they also take on New Paltz happening at 7:30 in Dewar Arena. On Saturday, February 14th, happening in the Hunt Union Ballroom starting at 5 p.m., watch the Threads of the Diaspora African Fashion Showcase, presented by the Pan-African Student Union and the SUNY Oneonta Heritage Language Institute. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week. Keep it locked. Stay warm out there.
Yo, DJ Nuss for Mark 2. DJ Nuss for Mark 2. Gonna have a guest today, I think. Daniel Macchio is gonna be coming from the music department, but I haven't seen him yet. He's donating a bunch of vinyl to the station, so but before he shows up here, he's not here yet. This is episode 84. I'm going to get started. I'm actually going to play. This is the first time I'm going to play a tape. Magnus the other day came on my show and had a tape. And another amazing professor, Dr. Ryan Ross Smith, donated me this Steve Earle tape called Guitar Town. What year is this? Steve Earle. Anyways, I'm gonna play the song called Guitar Town off of this. I don't know it, but here we go. I'm gonna rock and roll it, and hopefully this comes through because I never used a tape player. If not, we will be rolling.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just that off and about with San Antonio with a radio blasting in the bird dog home. There's a speed trap with my head sound of town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger wound and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam. Oh,
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Now I'm smoking in the Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little copper from the guitar down. Hey, pretty baby, don't you know it ain't my fault? I love to hear the steel belts humming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking while I still can. Got a two-pack habit in a motel tan. With my boots hit the boards, I'm a brand new man. With my back to the rise, I'll make my stand. Freedom, baby, won't you hold me tight? I'm loading up and rolling out of here tonight. Well, one of these days I'm gonna settle down and take you back with me to the guitar.
We know.
Daniel Mack's on his way. He's in the wrong building. So he's coming. We're going to wait for him. While we're doing this, we just Night Fever. That Steve Earletown song was awesome, by the way. I brought in a bunch of more 45s that I had that were donated to me, or that I bought, actually. But I bought like 300 of them for like $50. It feels like a donation because they're all awesome. As I was going through, I found a Warped one. Definitely was sitting in the sun or something. But this is also an Elvis song called Doing the Clam, which I do not know. So I'm going to play it and in its warpedness and all, and we're going to see how it sounds. After that, I have some, I think I got some Bananarama going on in there. And some animals, maybe. I got this. I've been pulling out some really funny ones. But let's listen to this warped Elvis. It's from a movie. I don't know what, I got to look at the thing. If anybody knows what Elvis movie it's from, you can let me know. But this is called Doing the Clam. Yeah, Elvis. Get a man. Oh, I'm loving this.
Listen to those happy feet. Ain't you glad that you found out what the clown is all about? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, grab your little baby by the hand. Try to change the screen. We got an into the clown.
Sometimes I feel a little mad, but don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be mad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get my share. And that's one thing I never mean to do. 'Cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some foolish thing, some sinful thing I've done. Understood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
understood.
I think we're ready. Yo, what's up? Can you hear me over there?
I can.
This is Daniel Mack. Daniel Mack, what's up?
What's happening?
Does anybody ever call you Daniel Mack?
A couple people, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what
D-Mack.
D-Mack, we're up here. He made it. He was in IRC.
Yeah, like, TV is not radio.
Well, you know, video killed the radio star, man. Anyways, we're here. It's awesome to have him. This is What's in Your Pocket, episode 84, and Daniel, which I always think of the Elton John song. I'm sure that people have done that before too. Maybe.
Oh yeah. Certainly not upset about it. Did you ever see him play?
No.
Oh man.
You saw him?
Yes.
How many times?
Just once, 2008. He had a residency. He was one of the first residents in Las Vegas.
Oh, no. Where was it?
MGM? Caesars.
Oh, it's Caesars Palace.
So it was Celine Dion and Elton going back and forth, and then they opened it. Lady Gaga, Britney Spears.
Wow. Britney Spears has a residency?
She did. And I blew it, and I never saw her.
Man! Magnus had it. Do you know Magnus?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a Baby Hit Me One More Time, whatever that song was. He had like the CD the other day, and I opened it up and looked at it. It was awesome. This ridiculous fold-out spread of like, you know, whatever, some high school.
Yeah.
She was probably like 16 or something.
I think so. 15,
right when,
yeah.
when that first album came out. That's amazing. She had a residency there. Wow.
Yeah, I think it was like, what do they do, six shows a week? Or yeah, Lady Gaga had one, The Killers... Britney Spears.
You know who has one? I just saw because I saw this morning. The Leopard. The Def Leppard is doing one right now. And they were like, there was some advertisements like, check out our new song called, it's like something about hope or something. It was like, man, just play Pour Some Sugar on Me and get it over with, man. Anyways, Daniel got a bunch of albums.
Yes.
And he's going to donate them to the studio.
Yes.
And I brought a bunch of albums and I'm donating them to the studio. So this Wony's stocking up. If anybody out there in Radioland has any albums they want to donate it to the show, we are more than welcome to take them. We would love to take them and we'll sort through them and put them in here and make them use for whatever. But I always like to try to get my guests on here and figure out who these people are. Who are you? Who am I? You ever see that? Is it Jackie Chan? Have you seen that movie? Who am I? It's a good one. He just runs around saying that the whole time. He's got like amnesia. But he's like amnesia with like the best martial arts skills in the world.
I remember I saw Rumble in the Bronx. That was a cultural flashpoint. I remember, like,
it is. It's
and like a good one. Legend of Drunken Master.
The Drunken Master is good. Operation Condor is really good.
I remember that.
Yeah,
and then, of course, really Rush Hour. And
yeah.
All that.
Rush Hour. Is it Chris Rock? No.
Yeah. Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker, not Chris
Fresh Rock. Off of Next Friday.
Okay, that's right. There was a scene in Operation Condor where he's like in like a gerbil ball, kind of, but it's like more of like one of those, like an inflatable one, going down like a mountain. Like skiing, but like in a gerbil ball.
I do remember that.
And of course, he did his own stunts, so he really did that, which is totally insane. Who am I? That's a good movie. Okay, Daniel joined us in the music department 2 years ago.
Last fall, first year.
First year, yeah. Where are you from, man?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah. That's where I know about all these residencies. I was there.
It's so, were you born in Vegas?
I was.
That's crazy.
You don't meet.
Does anybody ever be? I didn't know anybody was actually born there.
I think there was about 100 or two, maybe 200,000 people when I was born in the whole valley when I was born. And then now there's a couple million. It grew really quick.
The residential part.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
It's super flat. It's just flat, right?
It's like in a valley.
Oh, it is?
Huge mountains all around. I actually grew up... I was born in Vegas. I grew up right outside of the city.
Okay.
In a small mining town. Like 250 people.
It's like set up for like some kind of you know, coal ballad song or something. Like, what was it, mining? Was it coal mining?
Gypsum. And they pressed sheetrock drywall.
Wow.
And so
it's probably healthy.
Yeah, they would bomb the mountain right, you know, right across the street every afternoon, every other afternoon. So that was kind of cool. And no, it was a small, yeah, established by a mining company in the 40s. It was about a half an hour outside of town. Now it's about 29 seconds outside of town. much different place. So yeah, I grew up there. I went to school there at UNLV.
Oh, you went to UNLV?
Yeah.
I just see these are things I didn't know. The Running Rebels.
Yeah.
Tark the Shark, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Chewing
yeah.
on the friggin'. I think we talked about this. He had like a specific dude.
The like, towel guy, yeah.
That was like his job was to make sure. And the towel had to be the right amount of wetness.
Yeah. He would hydrate. If you see, like, never drinks water. He just sucks on the towel. And that's his hydration. But that was our team. I mean, it still is my team. I was fortunate when I was in school, they had a decent run again, so it was exciting. Made it to Sweet 16.
That's right. So were you well aware when they won that championship? Were you
not? I barely remember it, but like the residual, you know, until like they kind of dismantled the team not long after. So 1990, they won.
Was that the year they won 90?
Yeah, okay, and then they went back 15, so to the Final Four where they didn't lose a game the entire season.
That's right.
91, and then there was scandal. They were still good a couple years. So, yeah, I do. I don't remember them winning.
Did they win in 91, too?
No, they lost to Duke in the Final Four.
In the Final Four, but they had gone undefeated.
They were undefeated, averaging, 101 points a game.
What was the scandal?
They found a picture of a few of the players who weren't Larry Johnson and the starters in a hot tub with the famous fixer, point shaving.
There we go. Hey.
Nothing was proven, but they published it in the newspaper, and that was kind of...
Yeah, right.
They were all boosters and all stuff that's legal now. That's
yeah,
what they
it seems like the scandals these days are much worse. You go back and look at scandals from like that time, and you're like, oh, my God.
Somebody gave him free dinner. Like,
yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it's all regulated. Well,
yeah,
it's
sure.
all legal and, you
That's
know.
Crazy. Okay, so you go to UNLV. What'd you study there?
Percussion, performance.
Percussion.
So I was studied classical... Well, the classical family of instruments.
Yeah.
So played in orchestra, played in, you know, no jazz heavy stuff, but I studied like ragtime music, orchestral music, new music, avant-garde stuff. And then I also played drums in a lot of bands at the same time.
Yes.
So at night I was playing in bands, putting out records during the day.
In Vegas, played in bands in Vegas.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Vegas.
What was that like?
It was definitely unique. So I had the kind of two separate things. I was writing my own music, getting into writing music for like electronics and, you know, free improv and stuff. So there weren't really any galleries or... people weren't doing house shows so much. They cracked down on that quite heavily. So we just like roll a PA into a bar where our friend was working on like a Tuesday night and
gotcha.
A cafe.
Yeah, I was wondering where in Vegas, like something like that would happen.
There was some stuff, but it was pretty tight knit and we didn't know anybody. So, and playing in bands, there's quite a lot of performance opportunity. It was a really good place to grow up and cut your teeth. And so I played you know, standard bar gigs. The difference is, I think we were talking about this the other day, they'd start at like 11 o'clock at night because nothing closes.
That's right.
It is really the city that never sleeps. New York City can't. It's, you know, my former home I love very much as well, but nothing closed ever in Vegas at that time. Grocery stores, bars, obviously casinos.
I've been to Vegas like four times. Always stay on the old strip.
Yeah.
The D.
Yeah.
I'm a fan
that used to be
fan of the D.
That used to be, I think, the Las Vegas Club.
Okay. Yeah, right next to the Golden Nugget there.
Shark Tank pool. Yeah. They have a Shark Tank in the pool.
That area is awesome. That's what's the name of that?
Fremont Street.
Fremont. It's awesome. I love that area.
That was, there was a couple of bars downtown there. I think one of them might still be there, but they did a lot of live music. Now there's a lot more stuff. Fremont East. It was just a couple blocks after you exit the, where the TV is over your head.
Yeah.
The covered part of the Fremont. That was a pretty happening spot. And then, I played there a lot. I actually was telling a student, I don't remember watching them or remember, like, I didn't watch their set, but Imagine Dragons. Imagine Dragons opened for the band I was in at the time, Easy Sleeves. It might have been one of their first shows, but at that time, it was maybe a couple months before I moved. I ended up in Oakland, California, but I found the flyer. It was like it was them, but I don't.
That's
they
really
were
crazy.
Not. They were not
Easy
big.
Sleeves.
Easy Sleeves.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Psych Rock.
Was it S-L-E-A or S-L-E-E?
S-L-E-E.
Okay, Easy Sleeves.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Oakland. What's up in Oakland?
I went to graduate school.
Oh.
So
what's the name of the school in Oakland? What school did you go to?
Well, it was Mills College.
Okay.
Now it's gone, or it's something. It's part of another school.
Was it private?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was... Easy Sleeves, and at the time, this would have been taking us like 09, had a record deal, and it completely fell apart for like 600 reasons.
As they all do.
Yeah, and so I was going to go on tour. I also got into school at Long Beach State to keep studying percussion. I wasn't totally jazzed on the idea of like L.A., I love L.A., but, like, doing the L.A. session thing I was looking at. And so I got into Mills College to study composition. So I went and studied music composition there. Had a great time. Cost a fortune.
Private school.
Private school, yeah.
Yeah, I went to it. Yeah.
Stay public. Always.
Stay public, yo, unless you get, like, a full ride. I was really lucky for my undergrad. I got a ride.
Yeah.
So I had to pay for it, which was really awesome. It actually cost me more money to go to the state school because I went to Potsdam first. But that was a really weird and odd time.
Yeah.
In the mid-90s where there was a lot of money floating around at private schools. Because private schools, you know, they have... You got to have a lot of people paying the full thing so that other people can get full ride. Well, back then, that's what it was. I don't know what it is now. Now it's just tough.
Yeah.
Now you got to have money. You still paying loans?
No. COVID.
Yeah,
I
right
did the COVID
on.
0%. There was nowhere to go to spend it on. So
that's
awesome.
Some people get, like, stuck.
I wasn't going to pay them. And I was like, well, you know, I started working in tech. And for a little bit, and that helped.
Yeah, so, tech helps. That's like a real job.
Yeah, stuff that Mills didn't really contribute to. Eventually got into tech, and fortunate I'm not dealing with that. So.
Oh, it's terrible. I paid mine off. I did it in 10 years. I just I sucked it up and just paid whatever the hell it was off. And was just like, I don't want to deal with it. Okay, and then you go to graduate from Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Master's in composition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you?
I was playing a lot still. So I studied composition, but I was also studying computer music and percussion. And there, teaching percussion at the time was Willie Winant, who, it was great. We're still really good friends. He, great percussionist in like the avant-garde world, but he also did a lot of stuff with other bands or, you know, he was the percussionist in Mr. Bungle, so all those records.
Oh, no way. Like the original one? Like the Disco Volante and all that?
Yeah,
California?
He played on all those, was
That's
the touring
awesome.
Guy. Sonic Youth.
No way. That's super cool.
Yeah, so it was cool studying with him because UNLV kind of made you, you know, it was like a, what do you say, like we're just like workhorses. Really learn to play and be professional. it wasn't super creative. And I get to Mills, it's more creative, but I study with Willie, and it's like, oh, you can actually just do whatever you want. So I started, I was writing music, I was arranging, doing a lot of instrumental music, doing shows, playing in a percussion group with him, and playing in bands still. I think the two biggest from Oakland were, I was backing up a lot of songwriters and stuff, and I met one. Pete Fields, he had a band, Slow Motion Cowboys, and it was a country, like, Americana
band. That's a great
name. Yeah. He was in a band called, it still kind of is, Trainwreck Riders, which was a big kind of, you'd really dig them. They're kind of a rock, they're not rockabilly, but they're kind of a punk country rockabilly, but really good.
Cowpunky,
but really kind of more mellow. Okay. When they... mellow when they want to be. But he took that mellow part and started Slow Motion Cowboys and played with them for 2 years, toured all over the U.S., put out a record, couple records. They're still going in New Orleans.
Okay.
Have a lot of stuff on Arkham Records. But great songwriter, great band, had a lot of fun.
Hmm. Did you get to see Bungle a lot? Did you see
Bungle? I only saw Faith No More, and I saw...
Interesting.
Yeah, I saw Faith No More when they did a reunion at, I don't know, whatever, the Warfield in San Francisco.
What year was this, you think?
2012.
Okay, yeah. So they had, Soul Invictus was out, like, were they wearing all white?
Yeah, I think that wasn't out yet. They had done like a few reunion shows.
Okay. That's
maybe
a great
small
album,
tour.
By the way.
Yeah.
That album's awesome.
Yeah.
All their stuff is awesome. I think they're a great band, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. That might have come out right after.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them, and I crossed paths with Mike Patton a couple of times. Never like played with them or anything, but him and Willie went way back, so we like.
Interesting. So you met him?
Yeah.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was really nice.
That's awesome.
The whole band was way cool. In Faith No More. And yeah, really, that was a fun show.
That's awesome. They're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Angel Dust. That album's amazing.
I remember distinctly Patton threw a megaphone at some, like, into the crowd, but not like he was singing out of a megaphone. He didn't toss it, he just overhanded it. Like, I think it nailed some dude, but he might have gotten a free megaphone. But yeah, it was an intense show. It was great.
That's awesome. Okay, so you do that, and then you wind up in New York.
Yeah.
That's after that, right?
Yeah, I lived in Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco for 7 years. Okay. And
I've never been to San Fran.
It's, I feel like there's no frame of reference because it changes so wildly.
Interesting.
So quickly. It's a great city. It's a beautiful town. Parts of it really great. Parts of it not.
Rice-a-roni.
Yeah. I never rode a cable car there whole time I lived there. Never went to Alcatraz. Never rode a cable car.
It's like Grateful Dead, Alcatraz, Rice-a-roni. that's what they show on TV.
That's a bit.
Right.
And Full House, I guess. That's
Full House, that's right. What was the theme song for that?
It's probably the same as the Rice-a-roni.
San Francisco treat.
Yes. I forgot about that.
I know. Yeah, I can't Full House. I don't know. People are going to be upset because I don't remember it, but that's fine. Okay. San Fran.
Yeah. So I hop out of there, go to New York. End up in Brooklyn.
What part of Brooklyn you at?
I was in Park Slope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stroller baby town.
Park Slope with the Lucky 13.
Yeah, the old one.
The old Lucky 13.
Now it's in Gowanus.
Now it's Gowanus. But the old one was in Park Slope.
On 13th Street.
Yeah, I love that place.
I lived like a block from... It moved right before my time.
Did you go there a lot?
I went to the Gowanus one. I have friends who work there. It's one of the best bars in the borough. It's like the...
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like kind of in an industrial spot, so it's you can be as loud as you want.
Sure. The owner, one of the owners, the yoga. She like does heavy metal yoga.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. It'll come to me at some point.
I can't.
I think she's one of the owners now.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. She does like a heavy metal yoga thing, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. it's a great spot. Great shows.
Yeah, man.
Super cheap. Always cool people there. It's like nobody's, you go in, you're like, oh, this place is going to be intense. And it's not, it is, but in the best ways. Not,
yeah.
There's no, it's,
the old one was so small.
Yeah.
They always had the Warriors play. Every time I went in, the Warriors were playing, like on some like TV, yeah. You know, like,
I think as more stroller baby families moved in, they pitched a fit and kicked them over.
Yeah, they kicked them out. Yeah. They're like, yeah, because Park Slope used to be.
I guess it was pretty run. Yeah, they say it was like run down.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all like hipped up now.
No, it's like nice. Beyond hip.
Yeah,
it's like
super
that's
nice
where now. People are raising kids.
Yeah, right.
Boring.
It wasn't like that in the 90s.
Yeah, there's a great great really spot though. Weird to move there, like right away. But I was there and bounced around a couple years and then ended up back there. The last few years I was in the city. So that's really, I only lived in Brooklyn. I was there 9 years.
And where else did you live besides the Slope?
East Williamsburg.
Oh, that's another hip. That was hip at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Barcade.
Barcade was 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
Anchored In was another great spot over there. Some
Gutter?
Of the best. Gutter.
Isn't Gutter there? I think Gutter's. Have you ever been to that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's definitely over there. It's like a bowling alley. It's like what's the big bowling place in the city?
On the West Side Highway, like
Brooklyn Bowl. No, Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn Bowl.
So
it's
like the punk junk version of Brooklyn Bowl. Gutter. It had four lanes that were like brought over. It was like these really old lanes brought over from like Europe or something. From like, and it was like they had that on the. They had like a plexiglass wall. You could watch the bowling, and then this really crappy bar in the back was a live room.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's in Williamsburg. I gotta remember. Next time you
I'll
go there,
go,
yeah, check it out. Yeah. It's awesome. I love playing there. It's called Gutter.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah, it was like on the border of like Williamsburg, Bushwick. So it was kind of a weird. There's more stuff there now, but it was like kind of a weird, right on the border of like the industrial part. So there were some venues. Our Wicked Lady was over there. I think that closed. That was a lot of great punk bands came through there. I kind of was doing my thing East Williamsburg about a year, and then I moved to Crown Heights.
Oh.
COVID. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's right. You're scared.
Yeah.
You're just scared. Like,
I lived in Ebbets Field where the Dodgers used to play.
Okay.
In the 40s and 50s or whatever. And but I lived on the 23rd floor, and I could see the entire, like, all the way from Coney Island to downtown Manhattan, like this full
That's
view.
That's amazing.
It was like, why would I don't, yeah. There's,
you don't have to leave.
It wasn't even like, yeah, I was like, I wouldn't want to leave if it were normal. It was like this huge corner apartment.
Yeah, right? That's amazing.
Do
you like Coney Island?
I love Coney Island.
So my sister worked there for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. When 9/11 hit,
mm-hmm.
right, she was a therapist. She got her master's in mental health or whatever. And they got a 10-year grant there was a place down there called the Jewish Guild for the Blind. It was on Coney Island, right? It was like a mental health thing for blind people. Because of 9/11, it like caused some serious trauma
mm-hmm.
with everybody, you know what I mean? But like people that are already having some kind of issues, it's even more dramatic to a degree. So she got a grant and worked there for 10 years.
Nice.
So I'd go down and visit all the time because I'd just be like, oh, I'm working. I'm just going to hang out. So I'd hang out on Coney Island all day until she got off work. Loved it.
It's great. It's like everything's as... It's all open, so you can go to, like, the theme park, but it doesn't cost you to get in.
Yeah.
It's all just pay to play. And there's some cool, there's still cool stuff. The brewery, the sideshow, or the freak show, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think they have Shoot the Freak anymore. I think they got rid of that.
Yeah, they got a, they mellowed a bit, but I think it's back. I think it's starting. It's okay. All like, you know.
The aquarium.
The aquarium is awesome.
And there's a venue there now. There's like a venue.
There's
like,
an amphitheater. Yeah, there's an amphitheater. Yeah, the Ford. It's like the Ford Amphitheater.
Yeah, but that's newer, right? Is that newer?
I think it was old. It was old, and it was shut, and they revamped it. But they did. They do a lot of summer shows there. They do a lot of local. They support a lot of local stuff. Coney Island has in South Brooklyn. In general, they're like punk and hip hop scenes are there. They're very there's a lot of. It's not as like, I don't know. I lived off the F in Park Slope, so I could get to Coney Island in half an hour, like door to door. So
okay.
No, a lot of baseball, a lot of beach.
Yeah,
I would have. I was
Cyclones.
The Cyclones, and I have a great book on how they started in 2000, but I have this book about how they formed the team. It's really interesting about like the politics and landscape of Coney Island, but.
And that was about when they rebuilt the boardwalk.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, late 90s. Yeah. Because before that, we used to go before, and it was pretty beat up.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really.
That was part of the, they built the ballpark. And in that, they renovated a lot.
Yeah.
The boardwalk. And, you know, there's always stuff, though. It's like every year you go and there's all there's the businesses that have been there 100 years. Yep. And then there's like all the corporate ones that think they can make it like across Surf Avenue, and they all eventually close in the winter. And then like a whole new set.
Sure.
I think the IHOP is the only thing that's
freaking IHOP. Somebody just bought Nathan's.
Really?
Yeah. Jill, I read that the other day, like whoever originally, like they sold it.
That, you know, I used to teach reading, and I taught, it would have been the great-great-granddaughter of dude who started Nathan's.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Serious money. Like,
oh,
whatever. So whoever that student was, I can't remember her name. This was 20 years ago. Is killing it right now. If that's the news.
That's so crazy. The downfalls of a relationship I was in for 6 years with somebody from New York City. It's just a slight one. I think it started the downfall. Was I was like, I want to go see the hot dog eating competition, and then she was kind of like, okay, and then got really mad at me because I really wanted to go see it, and did not want to go there. But I was like, I want to go. And I remember it being like our first real argument about whether or not we could go see the hot dog eating competition.
Bullet dodged.
Yeah, I mean, and it got, now it's over. It's over now. But that was like, I was like, what's so wrong with it? And it was just a very, it was a very interesting thing. So we're going to play one song.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back and talk about your time here because you were in the city.
Yes.
And this is fitting. This song is 100% fitting. So when Daniel walked in, I gave him five artists to choose from, right? Amongst them being the Pointer Sisters, Elvis, but the one he chose was Bruce Willis, because why wouldn't you, right? Yeah. And this was a hit for Bruce Willis in the late 80s.
Is this his blues band or something?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a blues band, but this is a cover song. And guess what cover song it is? It's very fitting for what we were just talking about.
It's not Elton.
No. It has to do something with Coney Island. It's a cover song, though. Well, it doesn't have to be with Coney Island necessarily, but could be something of Coney Island-esque. Well, you'll find out because you're going to play it, right?
Do it.
Here we go. Bruce Willis, I believe from 1988 when he was smoking hot.
Hey, Bruno.
Hey, what's up, Bruno?
Hanging out down here with us under the boardwalk. Let's throw down.
When the sun beats down and melts the tar up on the the streets get so hot, wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boat.
Now from the sand you hear the happy sounds of the kerosene. Ooh, you can almost taste the hot dogs and french fries they sell. Under the bubble, down by the sea, yeah. Oh, thank my baby.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above,
under the boardwalk,
we'll be falling in love.
Under the
boardwalk, boardwalk.
All right, we did that. I don't even. Anyways, that's bringing us. I think. Hold on. Let me look. I think it was 88. I'm looking right now. Nah, 87 actually. Mm. This is pre Die Hard, right? And Blind Date. I was like, what movie was it? Well, Robert, produced by Robert Kraft. Interesting.
Robert Kraft. Yeah. With Kraft with a K.
Kraft.
That's not.
I don't know.
There's a famous conductor from L.A.
Yeah,
Robert Kraft. You know him?
Yeah. I think Scafidi worked with him.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's the same one. Could
we got to ask? Maybe Scafidi had something to do with that record.
Yeah, probably Scafidi on here, right?
Why it was a hit?
Yeah, and the album name for this comes from is The Return of Bruno. Oh, cool. You get both sides is, one's in stereo, one's in mono, just in case anybody needs the stereo or mono version of this. I own it. And it'll be up here at SUNY, and will probably be never played again.
Yeah. Somebody's going to play that. Like, what?
Who's going to play this? Is anybody going to?
Just Bruce Willis? What?
They might.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Okay, so in our, man, this goes so quick. We only got 10 minutes left.
All right.
So, goes too quick, these shows. So we want to talk about what's going on with Daniel now. What happened? You're here.
Yeah, I kicked it up north. Spent about 9 years in Brooklyn. Did a bunch of stuff. Went to school. Worked in tech. Still made music the whole time. Got more into academia. Before I returned for graduate school a second time at Brooklyn College.
Oh, see, this I didn't know. You went to two grad schools.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I enrolled at Brooklyn. I got a job in the research center, research foundation lab in CUNY, and part of that, I was like, well, I'll start studying. I study computer science. I got a second master's in computer science, working in audio.
Is it like programming and stuff, too, or?
Programming, data analytics.
Okay.
It's all centered in audio.
Okay.
And then also moving into like audio applications within medicine.
Interesting.
So right now doing, our current work is analyzing the speech patterns or speech descriptors of patients with Parkinson's and how group singing over time affects their speech.
Wow. And this is a side gig?
Yeah, through CUNY Research Foundation.
That's amazing.
So we'll have about...
I wouldn't call it a side gig. It's a gig.
Yeah.
your gig.
Yeah, we had this music application, and then thought we could use it for speech, and then started working with a couple universities in Canada. So they like record people, the patients talking, and then they're in like choirs or, you know, singing groups. And we see, like, maybe trying to deduce, like, maybe what if sing how singing helps, what kind of singing, you know, what, if any certain literature helps improve certain points of their speech, based on like stage of I don't want to call it disease, that's not the right word, the state, just advancement of the stage of their condition. So,
yes,
it's rooted in audio. Yeah, I did a lot of, I also programmed business software for a while. I quit that.
It doesn't sound
paid fun. My loans.
yeah, I can see that. Yeah. It just doesn't sound entertaining
to
me. But
it was not. So I was kicking around. I finished school. I applied for this gig last fall.
This gig last fall.
They kept calling. I kept interviewing, and I got it. So
yeah,
it's
awesome that you're here.
Yeah,
we love it.
Second semester.
Yeah. And you love it?
I do. It's great.
Yeah.
Great department. Great school. A lot of freedom. Not just freedom, but support and enthusiasm for like what you, whatever anyone's into. So, yeah, teaching audio, teaching history of rock, hip hop. I'll teach percussion next year if anyone's, you know, into that.
Yeah, that's super sweet.
Yeah. I get to kind of do all the stuff. You know, never always made sense to do all the things in one place that I do. And now I'm here and I am.
Yeah, and you can kind of do it here.
Yeah. And yeah. Not just like, oh, that's cool, but hey, what do you need to make it better? Like, tell us about it. Yeah, it's a great, great atmosphere. It's a really cool program.
Yeah, one thing about, I mean, this is my 28th year. Well, I don't know. Something a long time. You know, when you're looking forward to this, your second year?
First. Second semester.
Oh, it's your second semester. You only came here last this?
Yeah.
Oh, really? For some reason, I thought it was your second. Well, okay, well, in 4 years, you get to, every 5 years, you get to go to, like, a thing.
Like
they invite you to this ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's every 5 years, you get, like, a little gift.
All right.
It's super cool. And you go to this little luncheon with the higher-ups,
mm-hmm.
right? And at the Otsego, whatever the grill is.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that grill room in Morris. They got some pretty good, yeah. You know, when they want to crank out some good food, they do.
Yeah.
They take care of you. And then you go there, and every 5 years, and then you get a gift. You know what the gift is?
Gift card to Otsego Grill.
That's right. It's a gift card to the Hunt Union store.
Okay.
Over there, not the Hunt, the store over there.
Yeah, like, yeah. The Red Dragon
Outfitters, whatever it is. Right? And for how many years you've been here, that's the amount you get. So if you're 5 years, you get a $5 gift card. And I recently got my $25 one for all those listening out there. And, you know, they asked me, what are you most excited about? And I said, I'm most excited about when I'm here for 50 years and I get a $50 certificate. So I only have 23 more years to go to get that $50.
How does that keep up with inflation, you think? Like, what can you buy in that store for $50 in 25 years?
That's an interesting thing. So I got a $25 certificate. It's still in my car. I have not used it yet. I'm going to go there. Maybe I should use it. Now I'm remembering. It's like sitting in like the whatever you call the – maybe there's a name for it. What's the little console like in between the two front seats? That you put
it's
crap
like,
in.
Yeah, this center console.
Is that what we call it?
Yeah, for napkins and... have napkins and... I have a stack of CDs
napkins,
in mine.
Guitar picks, CDs.
Yeah, there's no CD player in my car, and I have a spindle of CDs.
That's awesome. There was a thing this morning. I saw an advertisement from the 70s, and it was for $4.95. You could buy this... it was a Rolodex, basically, for 8-tracks. So you could put 2 8-tracks next to each other, and it held 20 of them. There was 10 rows. And you could scroll through. It was like does this happen to your car? And it's like this dude with a mustache, like in his, you know, 78 Skylark or whatever, you know, like fumbling through trying to find the right 8-track to put in. And they're like all over the floor. It's like you could get the Rolodex 8-track thing for $495. This is in the 70s.
For
that's expensive.
100 and for
and it held 20 8-tracks. Like you just like insert the thing in once you can scroll.
$4 that what?
That's I don't
40
know.
$40 or something.
Yeah, so something you spent. It was like this piece of plastic, you know, that was like the most amazing thing in the world. So you could organize your
I never had eight tracks. I never had.
It's awesome. We have around the corner, and I'll show you when you bring the albums in because we have to go by there. All the old PSAs from when this thing originally kind of went in the 70s are all on 8-track.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like cartridges. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put them in. But like, yeah, I had an 8-track in my – I had a 79 Bonneville, and I had an 8-track player in it.
Nice.
It was pretty hip. I had Zeppelin IV on 8-track, and I had Cat Scratch Fever. I you know, back then I kind of liked the Nuge. I don't like the Nuge anymore
because
it just bothers me.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, when you're growing up, that album was pretty cool. You know,
yeah,
he didn't age well in terms of who he is. I guess
he's okay for me. Yeah, and then he just very much. No, he's like, I haven't thought of him in a long time.
No, he's crazy now. But you know, I don't even know if I'm, whatever. I'm not even going to get into it. The Nuge. I saw Damn Yankees open up for some band at SPAC. And he came on stage with like a flaming arrow. He's like a bow and he's like a hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he came on stage with like a flaming thing and like, you know, like blew up some picture of Bill Clinton or something. You know, I don't even remember what it was, but it was really crazy. You know, it was like, what is going on? It's like half Sticks and then Nugent, you know, this band. Can you take me high?
Damn Yankees was on like every compilation, like those Time Life.
But it's that one song.
Yeah. Every one of it. Doesn't matter if it was like the power ballads or it's like Damn Yankees made it on every.
Oh, that's so funny.
Every one of those.
That's true. Okay, 8:57. We got to sign off here. What classes you teaching next semester? Let us know again.
Audio.
Audio. Is this like, can anybody take that? Or is it just audio?
Is
it audio one?
Audio one.
Okay, so that's mainly for the majors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, audio one. History of Rock again.
Anybody can take that. That's a super fun class.
Yeah.
People love it.
Yeah. Register early.
They fill up that. There's always like two or three sections, and it fills up in like 2 seconds. Because everybody's like, what should I take? Oh, History of Rock. Yeah.
And then hip-hop.
That's cool.
Similar class, just similar setup on hip-hop. And then I'll teach private study for electronic music.
Cool.
So if you want to do whatever there, and then I'll have a couple spots for percussion.
That's super cool.
I'm
going
to start
cool.
nurturing that and maybe try to build up a studio percussion ensemble over time. Takes a bit, but yeah. I'm dusting it off, playing marimba.
Sweet.
On that vibraphone. So yeah, that'll be my setup.
Cool. Speaking of hip-hop, I saw one last bit of note when I was in L.A., last month, for the NAMM thing, I saw the bass player that did a lot of stuff in this late 70s with Grandmaster Flash because he's in Living Color.
Was he also in Tony? Was one of the guys in Living Color?
Let's see. Living Color. What was his name is... I should know this right now. Living Color. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to pull this up because this is super important to me. But Doug Wimbish.
Okay.
Right? So Doug was in the Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh.
Yeah. And Grandmaster Flash. He also played with the Stones, Jagger, Depeche Mode, James Brown, Annie Lennox. And, you know, also has always been, you know, he's played for Living Color and all that shit. But yeah, he's not on, what's it called? What's the big Sugar Hill. What's the first thing?
Rapper's Delight.
He's not on that, but he's on pretty much everything else.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Slick. Like, it was him, which is crazy because he didn't look that. I mean, you think that's a long time ago, and it's not actually as long ago as I thought it was. But
no, that was 70. By the end of 79, right? 79 was.
But I got to play the PSA because otherwise we're going to get in trouble. Yo, rock and rolling, Denver.
Thanks for having me.
You're awesome. Rock and roll. I'll see everybody on Monday.
These animals, such as dogs, cats, rabbits, and even exotic animals, are neglected in their own homes for no good reason. It is our responsibility to put a stop to this. How, you ask? We must help and support our local shelters in their fight against animal cruelty. Some great options in the Hudson Valley are the Hudson Valley SPCA and the Woodbury Animal Shelter. Both these shelters support the rehabilitation of abused animals and have a goal to erase animal neglect. You can support through donations, activism, or even volunteering your time to help the animals. If you'd like to support a more widely known cause, the ASPCA collects donations monthly that go directly to saving animals in harm's way. Don't wait. Put a stop to animal cruelty.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONI Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to.